This episode may have Toronto Maple Leaf based freakouts. These are not to be taken lightly and may continue to get worse. Thank you for listening and please enjoy.
Welcome to the audio event of the century, featuring two lifelong best friends. We love the Leafs. We love each other. But most of all, we love William Nylander. Welcome to the Buds All Day Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Buds All Day Post-Game Reaction Podcast. I'm Sats Mundine here with Lebda's Legacy.
How's it going, everyone?
And we're going to recap the Leafs' 3-2 overtime loss to the Vancouver Canucks. Now, normally this is when I would ask Lebda how he felt about this game, but I know that he's very angry about it, and he was so angry that he did not want to look up the stats today. So I went and did that dirty work. So I'll just give you guys a recap. The Leafs on the deserve-to-win-o-meter tonight, which measures chances, all of that good stuff, expected goals. Leafs were at 82.2%. They had 3.63 expected goals to Vancouver's 1.63, so clearly outplayed them in that regard. They had 73% of the high-danger chances and 64% of the possession tonight. Now, in my mind, this game comes down to Jack Campbell not playing his best. Sure, the Leafs didn't give a perfect effort, but I think I'm kind of the good cop in this good cop, bad cop scenario. So Lebda, I'll let you give your bad cop routine.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to play bad cop tonight because I'm just so annoyed with how this team played tonight. And I know, like, we look at the stats and we go, oh, the Leafs, like, really, really outplayed them. Braden Holtby had a fantastic game. This is a Vancouver team coming off not playing for a month, and the Leafs couldn't muster up 3 goals to win the game. It's so pathetic from the Leafs at this point that they just continue to do this stupid, stupid stuff, and they can't find a way to win tonight. Like, I know all 3 Vancouver goals Jack Campbell probably should have had. The Leafs had 100 chances, but you have so many players making so much money, and they can't find a way past one against a goalie who hasn't played in 23 days. It's such a joke. I don't understand how many more lessons this team has to learn before they actually start giving a shit about, you know, winning some games here and actually proving that they're over the hump. But this is just another one on the growing list of just absolute embarrassments for this Leafs team.
Yeah, that is a good point about kind of being a team that overcomes humps and adversity and things like that. We've heard about the David Ayers game 1,000 times and all that stuff. I personally like the David Ayers game, and that, like, this is obviously not even close to comparable, but it's also not comparable for the fact that in that game, the Leafs were outplayed. I thought they came out and they looked good. Sure, they didn't finish, but sometimes at the end of the day, that's just hockey. Sometimes it just comes down to bad luck. And I know we've said it a few times this year, but if you just look at the Leafs record, they're in first place. They've overcome, like, Matthews having an injury. They've overcome some poor goaltending, some bad situations, and they're still in first place. If they had come out tonight and laid a stink bomb, like, and just gotten outchanced, outplayed by Vancouver, I would be more upset about this. But I personally just can't read too much into a game on a Sunday afternoon, Vancouver time, against a crummy team. I know Vancouver's coming off of that, but maybe that gave them some adrenaline, although they certainly didn't really show it because they didn't play very well. Like, the only guy that played well on Vancouver was really Braden Holtby in my eyes, and that play was not reciprocated by Jack Campbell on his end.
Yeah, this game was worse than the David Ayers game to me. Like, this entire team just spent a month off playing hockey, and the Leafs could not muster up enough to score 3 goals on Braden Holtby. I know he played well. I understand that. But, like, that is embarrassing. It's just flat-out embarrassing. Auston Matthews was not good enough tonight. Mitch Marner, not good enough tonight. William Nylander, not good enough tonight. John Tavares, not good enough tonight. Like, we can go down the list. Morgan Riley sucked. Jake Muzzin, TJ Brody, what did they do all night? Like, it's just not good enough for a team that is supposed to be dominant in the NHL to come out and lose a game like this. I'm really struggling not to, like, just completely go into a meltdown down and start crying angry tears, but this game is so frustrating. Like, we already lost this crazy game to Ottawa this year. Like, you think these idiots would learn a lesson and not have to continually just embarrass their fan base like this? But here we are. They just clearly, they don't have enough of a give a shit to get past a game like this. Now, I would say this, like, Jack Campbell was probably the reason we lost tonight. He sucked again. Like, he was terrible. But at the same time, you can't score three goals to help your goalie out when he's having an off night against a team that hasn't played in a month. Like, everyone in the Leafs forward group should be absolutely embarrassed with their effort tonight.
See, I have to disagree. I feel like you shot some stray bullets there that to people who didn't deserve them. William Nylander, this was his first game coming off 10 days off, which we're saying was such a battle for Vancouver. He had 10 days off and he came out. He was, had an expected goals for percentage of 86% while he's on the ice. He had a beautiful goal off the rush and he was the main creator on the Leafs' other goal. So I think you can at least give Willie a break on that. I thought you did make a good point about Marner and Matthews were just not good enough tonight. They, like on the first power play the Leafs had, like Matthews made a boneheaded play to give the puck away, which led to another 40 seconds of trying to get into the zone. And then once they got, like, once he got to a chance to try to get into the zone, he goes 1-on-4 into four guys. He just clearly didn't have it tonight. It wasn't his best night. And of course he still scored because he's Austin Matthews. But yeah, Marner and Matthews were not good enough. I thought a lot of their problems were on the defensive end too. Like, the Hoglander goal started off a neutral zone turnover by that line. I will agree they were
that was Austin Matthews just not covering his guy in front. I'll let you go on your point. Austin Matthews needs to stop being a selfish prick. And if his wrist is actually bugging him, he needs to sit out of this game. He sucked tonight compared, like, yes, he scored. Okay. He's still a very good hockey player because he's Austin Matthews. If you're looking at it from Austin Matthews' standard, he sucked tonight and he needs to stop being selfish and stop playing in these games where he's just out there just floating around and off in no man's land.
Yeah. I just don't know about that because we said this when he came back the last time and he did look like ass for a while, like horrible. From a shooting perspective, but he was still an effective player. And then he came back to being Austin Matthews. Like, he was amazing until recently. Like this was his first bad. I know he had a few bad games recently, but like he was Austin Matthews. He was producing. He was doing good stuff. So if this is just another thing where he's going to have a few games where he's not quite at his best, then it is what it is. I would agree. I do wholeheartedly agree with the fact that if he's not 100%, they should probably rest him. Just like I think they should be resting and load managing guys down the road, but I'm not going to totally pin that one on him just because he has shown that even if he doesn't look like himself for a little while, maybe this does, like, the additional damage he's doing to his wrist by playing this game isn't as bad as the damage of putting on a couple weeks of rust. So I am the first time that he had an injury and came back, what we all thought was early, I was definitely on that side of the argument where I thought he should not have done that. But then he proved me wrong and he was like a point a game while he was still struggling. And then after a couple weeks of struggle-icious hockey, he went back to being full-blown Poppy. So I'm hopeful that that's not too big of a deal. He did look like he was trying to rifle some shots tonight and doing stuff. Like, I know he fanned on a few, but he at least didn't look timid out there, which is what you're kind of a little bit scared of after an injury like that.
I just look at how many minutes Austin Matthews played tonight, and he's taking those away, not being 100%, clearly being, like, he's not a total shell of himself tonight, but he's clearly not 100%. He's whiffing on wide open shots. He's shooting it right into Holtby's pads when normally he'd roof it and score a goal. And look at how well John Tavares has been playing lately. If you give half those minutes to John Tavares, I think you're in a better spot than Matthews just playing through an injury when he doesn't need to be.
No, that's fair. I don't think there's any argument to be made that Matthews sitting any of these games would help the Leafs win now, because if you're taking his minutes away, a lot of those are going to Kerfoot, they're going to the fourth line, they're going to guys who are not Austin Matthews. The only possible argument for him not playing is if it's going to impede him in the playoffs. If resting for a week or two now is going to make him that much healthier in the playoffs, then absolutely he should be resting. But yeah, we'll go on. Let's talk a little bit about Jack Campbell. So tonight, he gave up three goals. I thought two of them were bad. Both of the rush goals were bad. The Anderson goal the other night was similar. I don't know if that's a weak spot for him, but it seems like he's been getting beaten off the rush a lot lately.
He sucks. I shouldn't say he sucks because I don't think he actually is a bad.
You can say he sucked with a D.
Yeah, yeah.
He was not good tonight.
Yeah, he sucks lately or has sucked lately. No, if you look at that Vancouver goal off the rush, like the Leafs, I know, who scored it?
So the first one was Bo Horvat off the rush.
Okay, yeah. So that Horvat goal, like, you look, sure, he's got the defender beat, but the Leafs defender is coming back and making a beeline. Bo Horvat can't make a move to the middle and potentially deke. There's only one thing Jack Campbell needs to guard against, and that's the shot. And he gets beat short side because he lost his post and was in terrible positioning. And a lot of the speculation is it's confidence for him. If that's the case, then the Leafs need to pony up, spend a little bit of money, and get this guy a sports psychologist, because you can't have this guy just being that kind of frail mentally and being the starter of your team.
Absolutely. And I don't know if it's a confidence thing. Maybe it's a goaltending coach thing where they can kind of figure out what he's doing off the rush and figure out how to play his angles better. Cause he's gotten beat. At least I can remember the two today and the one against Anderson. I feel like there have been other ones too. So I'm hoping it's not a confidence thing. I'm hoping he's overcome it, but he gave up 3 goals on 24 shots today, which isn't good. 2 of those goals, like we said, weren't good goals. The Hoglander goal, I'm not going to give him a ton of grief over, because it was basically a cross ice pass from the boards into the slot, and he kind of deflected the pass a bit, and then it went to Hoglander. And like you said earlier, that was on Matthews for not covering his man, because there were two or three Maple Leafs there and only 2 Canucks, and Hole had his guy. Matthews didn't really get his. So yeah, 3 goals on 24 shots, when none of the goals in my mind were totally like egregious, horrible goals, but 2 you definitely feel like he should have had. And then the Hoglander goal is more on defensive coverage than anything. So it hasn't been good enough for Jack today. It felt like the other 21 shots he faced, there weren't many tough ones. I know there was a breakaway that ended up missing the net, but Vancouver wasn't generating chances. And it was just a lot like the Winnipeg game, where it's kind of what we said with Fred Anderson, where he made the saves that are absolutely required of an NHL goalie. But as soon as it came to the point where he had to bail us out in a way, make a big save in a big moment, he just hasn't been able to do that the last 3 or 4 games.
No, he's been really, really bad. At the beginning of the year, he was doing exactly what the Leafs needed him to. I know he went off and had like a 960 or whatever. Like, the Leafs didn't need that. But on like the 2 chances that the Leafs give up a game that are high danger, he was making those saves. That's all the Leafs need. Like, this Leafs team is fairly good at suppressing chances against and suppressing shots. It's just when they don't have a goalie that can make a save on a shot that's like 5 out of 6 difficulty instead of the regular 5 out of 10 difficulty instead of the regular like 3 out of 10 that they normally give up, then we just see these ugly, ugly results for the Leafs. And like, I think this result is really, really pathetic from the Leafs, because they just couldn't get over the hump. It's just so frustrating. They've done this 1,000 times. David Ayers games earlier versus Ottawa. Like, that's where all my frustration comes in. But the team actually did play good enough to win. It's just they didn't play well enough to win this specific game tonight.
Yeah, and they actually probably should have won, because there was a play late in the 3rd period when it looked like the puck pretty clearly went over the line and the Leafs should have won the game, but they couldn't conclusively rule that it was a goal. Now, if that changes and that goal is called a goal, does that change your take on this game at all?
No. No, because the fact that it got down to that big of a wire where they needed a last-minute goal versus a Vancouver team that hasn't played in a month, it's still not good enough. Now, would I be a little less steamy? Maybe, because it wasn't a complete loss. So now all we have to see and hear on Twitter for the next 2 days is how the Leafs lost to a freaking team that hasn't played in a month. I don't know, maybe, but that's just a goal that it's a goal. Everyone knows it's a goal. There's just no way the refs could have called it a goal unless they called it on the ice.
See, that's what I mean, though. If you think about the game, the Leafs outshot them 39-24. They clearly outplayed them. And they did do enough to win. Like, that probably should have been a win. So in my eyes, as a team effort, this really doesn't concern me. The power play, we'll get into it in a little bit. It was at least loaded up, and they did have some moments today on the power play. And they actually did show some of that fluidity, but we'll get into that later. I just think that the big concerns coming out of this game for me are Jack Campbell and the tragic injury of Zach Hyman. I sure hope he's okay.
If Zach Hyman's not okay, Alex Edler is going to have his house burned down to the ground by a lot of Leaf fans. Like, that's another thing that really just got me pissed off, like, to kind of start the game or throughout the game, even before the Leafs gave up their goals or whatever. That's just such a gutless play from a – it's so unnecessary. Like, you're Vancouver. You haven't played it in a month. You're so far behind in the playoffs. You're never going to come back and actually make a playoff run. And then some old NHL plug decides to take a run at one of the Leafs' best top six forwards, and then the Leafs do nothing about it. Like, there's no answer. And I'm not necessarily talking about fighting or whatever, but you go on that 5-minute power play and they're scrambling, they're passing around. Sure, they had a few chances and they ended up scoring, but they didn't play well enough to actually atone for that Zach Hyman injury. You see one of your top six forwards, the heart and soul of your team, go out and you can't even muster up enough to win the game for that guy after a dirty hit. And that's why I really wanted to be proved wrong this year, but the Leafs being, you know, a different team than they are in the past. But once again, they're so soft when it comes to being able to face adversity. And honestly, this leaves me thinking, if Montreal gets any semblance of goaltending going into the playoffs or in the playoff series, we're going to get rolled because we can't overcome the hump. And it's just a stupid pattern from this team.
See, I have to disagree with that. I think there have been plenty of times this year when there's been games where you're like, oh, this is where the old Leafs would blow it. How many times have we said on this podcast the Leafs overcome a 15-minute stretch of playing like garbage and they only leave that stretch giving up a goal or two, and with their game breakers, they're able to overcome it. I think on this one, you're a bit of a prisoner of the moment. It's been a rough few games, but they played well today. Montreal is sliding. They have been terrible. I know they are a good team at 5-on-5, but I'm not that worried about them outside of our goaltending. If our goaltending is half decent, I think we beat Montreal. I think this is a different Leafs team. I think they're going to show it. I think especially you're going to add Nick Foligno in there. He's going to bring some of that playoff intensity too.
Oh, yay. More defensive. Only gave up 23 shots tonight and couldn't score a goal. Woohoo.
Well, I know
Nick Foligno.
And I do know Taylor Hall has 2 goals in his 4 games, so I'm just going to sip my tea like Kermit on that one, but I still do think Foligno's going to add something to this team, and I sure hope Hyman's there, because if Hyman's not, he's been our, at minimum, our 5th best forward this year, and there were times when he was even higher than that. So if he's going to be gone, that does make Montreal seem a lot scarier. But at the end of the day, this team has shown a lot of times this year that they can overcome adversity. They had that 7-game lull earlier in the year and they came back and they kept fighting throughout that drought too. How many of those games did they actually outplay the other team? Sure, they've had a couple bad games here in the recent stretch. I'd say the worst one was probably that Calgary game where they were actually outplayed a little bit. But that was on the second night of a back-to-back. I'm not too worried about this team, especially when you just look at how little these games mean for them. Like this game really doesn't mean anything. If the Leafs finish first or second, who cares? Like facing Montreal or Edmonton, there's arguments that you could make for facing both teams, but I personally stand on the side of vastly preferring facing Edmonton since they're basically a Costco version of the Leafs. So you have to just consider the different factors, and then just the situation of having that extra day off, like all this stuff going in. It was how many Leaf fans were on Twitter before saying, oh, the Leafs are definitely losing this one, because we've seen it 1,000 times. And it's not just a Leafs thing. I just got to say, I'm not worried. If they got dominated possession wise, scoring chance wise, sure, I'd be a little bit concerned, but they controlled the play. And sometimes that's just hockey. Sometimes you face a better goalie and your goalie doesn't bail you out. So things will be okay, Lebda. I promise.
Yeah, things might be okay until we end up in game 7 of a first round series against Montreal and our goalies just forget how to play hockey again. But to that point, the Leafs have now lost 4 games in a row. You can't come up with enough urgency to break a losing streak. I know, like, outplaying them at this point, it's not enough. The Leafs can't get out of these stupid losing streaks. And they did it before.
But they can.
During that big streak.
They're still in first, Lebda.
The first place doesn't matter. Like, it just doesn't matter right now. They're just such a hilly team at this point. I know there's like ups and downs to every NHL team season, but this is just the Leafs of the past. They're hilly and they just can't overcome this stupid adversity. And that's what just makes me so worried about a playoff series, because you brought up all this point where, yeah, this team looks different, but I think we can bring up equally as many points where the Leafs haven't been able to get over the hump in their losses, or they can like grind a game to overtime, but they can't actually get over the hump when they're out playing teams. It just leaves me scared for the playoffs.
Yeah, I can, like, as a Leaf fan, you do have the right to be irrational. Plus, it's just sports. That's part of it, right? You don't have to look at everything like a business decision or anything like that. You can have irrational opinions. Like I said, my only true fear is the goaltending. And if we can get one of Riddick, Fred, or Campbell to play, give us 9-10 goaltending in the first round, I guarantee we will roll. Like, if you just look at the top four, five teams in the division, we have the best record in the last 10 games. So if you expand the sample size, we're 6-2-2 in our last 10. Winnipeg is 6-3-1. Edmonton 6-2-2. Montreal is 4-6. You want to talk about a team that's really in crisis? Look at them. They lost 4-0 to Ottawa yesterday and they got outplayed. So it could be worse. Montreal does not want to face us. I think they're going to gear up. I think Foligno's going to come in. And I just hope Hyman's okay. Hopefully it's just a minor injury, maybe a week or so or something like that. And I think this team is going to rev up for the playoffs. I think this is when having guys like Thornton, Simmons, Foligno, Bogosian, to a lesser extent, Muzzin, all these guys, I'd prefer it if some of those aforementioned names weren't going to be playing in these games. But I think this is a good time to have those guys in the room where they're not going to overreact to this. They're not going to panic and act like the sky is falling when they're in first place. They know what the goal is and they're going to keep focused on it. So I have so much faith in this team. I know so many Leaf fans are probably listening to this and being like, why would anyone have faith in the Toronto Maple Leafs? And I'm here to tell you, I have faith. I am a believer. I am a believer in this team. We have the second best player in the world. We have the best defense we've had since like 2002. We have so much depth up and down the lineup. I'm not going to overreact to a small sample size of four games.
I really wish I had your confidence and your belief, but this season is just, it started off so well. And then we have all these instances where we're like, oh, maybe they have turned the corner. And then the Ottawa game happens and you're like, oh, okay, yep, now they moved on. Now they learned their lesson. They didn't learn it, you know, last year when they lost to a freaking emergency backup goalie, but you know, this time they learned their lesson, and then we go on and we have this big losing streak where we're out playing games where we get goalied. So you're like, okay, I can live with that. Like, we got goalied. Okay. You know, pass on, team playing well, not going to freak out. And then they go on a winning streak where they're winning most of their games kind of in overtime. It is what it is. They did enough to win. Good for them. Like, keep that going. It's towards the end of the season. You know, you're maybe gearing down a little bit because you have a big lead, and then just a big stinky fart of a game happens like this, and you're like, okay, so yep, the whole.
But Lebda, it wasn't a fart. Learned nothing. It was good goaltending.
So, Professor, would you say it's time for everyone to panic?
Dude, they lost to a team that hasn't played in a month. I don't care how good their goaltending is, they cannot lose that game. That is absurd that the Leafs could not find that little bit of an extra gear to not lose tonight.
It is my professional opinion that now is the time to panic.
All right, so I think we've done enough debating back and forth of whether this is an 18-wheeler down a cliff, a 4-wheeler, or if it's just going straight on track. So let's get into something that has been a bit of an 18-wheeler lately, but did show a glimmer of hope today, and that is the Maple Leafs power play.
Yeah, kind of a weird one with the power play tonight, because it definitely looked better. If you were, you know, just watching the game, watching the power plays, they had a lot more chances. Now, whether that was because they were playing, you know, the Vancouver Canucks tonight, or was it actual improvement on the power play, I don't think you can deny that it did look more dangerous tonight. And now, they still really struggled getting into the zone, but once they were in the zone, they looked dangerous.
Yeah, they definitely struggled to get in the zone at times, but you could just see that the addition of William Nylander on that unit, we've been crying out for it. It was huge. Just to have him as that guy when the puck, like, on a rebound, he'll take the puck and he won't just ram it and then it'll end up or like getting cleared out or something. He would take it, he'd have poise behind the net, he'd wait for Matthews, Marner to move around, and he'd find a guy. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it was because of him or because of coaching, but the power play just had so much more fluidity. I saw Matthew started the power play on the left side. He made his way over to the right at one point for a shot. So I just loved seeing that movement. And I think having somebody with the ability to both finish in close and the ability to find guys like Nylander has, I think that's really going to unlock the power play. Now, the power play goal they got, I wouldn't classify that as any kind of improvement off the power play because it was basically a play off the rush where Nylander made an excellent zone entry, cut through the center of the ice, and then laid off a nice backhand pass to Matthews who finished it off. So they didn't technically they did get the goal, but by process, they didn't really get a true power play goal. But I definitely am encouraged by this. And if they keep this up, they can at least score at a 20% clip in my mind.
Yeah, if they keep that front or first unit loaded up, they'll at least not be so bad where they don't go 1-for-40 on the power play the rest of the way. I think the big thing to note on the power play tonight was, yes, it was loaded up. Very good. Finally, Sheldon, you still need to play him more and not take them off after a minute, but we'll hopefully you figure that out a little bit. You know, I know you're a little bit of a slow learner, so I hope you figure that out. But the big thing about William Nylander being there is he's playing at the goal line. So the Leafs have that option, and it's what we were talking about on the last couple podcasts, having a guy underneath there so that there's another outlet for a pass, and then that play him down by the goal line, whether he's tucked beside the net or a little bit into the corner, he has like the defenseman or quote-unquote defenseman by the wall to pass to. He has potentially John Tavares to pass to. He can go cross-crease to the other guy. Like, there's so many options when the puck gets down there if he can find the open man. So I think that is a very, very big thing to kind of look out for going forward, seeing if William Nylander stays in that kind of position on the power play.
Yeah, exactly. I think that was a big reason for the fluidity of the power play. Like I said, if you have a guy there, like you put Wayne Simmonds on there, he's just trying to ram it home. He's not going to pull it out and look to try to pick a pass. So just having William Nylander there down below the goal line controlling the puck, it just gave guys a chance to move around and try to find that open space. So I think as long as they can figure out the zone entry, and I think again, William is the elixir to all of our problems because he's probably the one that's going to solve the zone entry too, because he is the zone entry lord. So I have faith in this power play. I think tonight was definitely, that was a bright spot for me. And my only hope is that Sheldon just keeps this unit together going forward. And then the second unit actually looked pretty good too. Like there was one power play where Galchenyuk had a beautiful pass to Spezza who somehow boofed it and hit the post a little bit. And then seconds later, he made another great pass to Thornton in the slot. So if we can get two units like that and have them just stick with those units and let them build some chemistry, then after that 80 seconds or 90 seconds of the first power play, the second one can still be a threat too, especially maybe you throw Nick Foligno in front of the net.
I think that's a big thing too. There was one instance where Sheldon Keefe pulled the first power play unit off after like 30 seconds and I was losing my mind because I don't understand, because yes, the second power play looked good tonight. They had quite a few chances. Jason Spezza should have for sure had a goal. A couple other nice chances for that unit. That power play unit is not the one you need to get rolling. Like,
no.
Like, that power play unit matters to an extent, but it's not a very big extent. Like, they should only be playing maybe 30 seconds of a power play unless, you know, Matthews the one who drew the penalty and he's already tired and he needs to come off or whatever. But that should very much be your secondary focus. You hope they get a couple good chances in that 30 seconds if the first unit didn't score. But that first unit needs to get as much power play ice time as they can together in the next X amount of games until the season's over, because that is the one you need to get going.
Yeah, I'd be pretty comfortable placing a bet that anytime the Leafs are losing in a playoff game, that first unit gets at minimum a minute 40, probably the whole 2 minutes, especially if you're in the third period, that unit's not coming off.
Yeah, you hope it is just, we're kind of overreacting to things that Sheldon Keefe is doing in the regular season, like ice time wise and all that, just to try and keep his players fresh as opposed to really grinding them out to the playoffs. But yeah, if it comes playoff time and I see the first power play unit out for 30 seconds and then get hauled off again, then I might need to go buy a new TV.
And that Foligno piece too, just a little side note, I think he could be a good fit on that second unit, because if they do only get 25, 30 seconds maybe and they're out when the other team's at full strength, it's nice to have a really capable defensive forward out there. And then the other defenseman's either going to be Muzzin or Brody, who you can kind of trust too. So we know Keefe is kind of scared of that shift after power play. So that would be a good kind of solution for the second unit too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whether Foligno's on that second unit that can kind of do that. I mean, it's insane to talk about defensive stability, but yeah, once that guy does step onto the ice after the power play is over, or if maybe you don't put Nick Foligno there, that way you have him right after the power play comes out. He can handle the minutes against the other team's top lines, and you don't have to be so worried about it that you can just absolutely load up that first unit and just go all out with them, because you don't have to worry about the next, you know, minute and a half, 2 minutes after the power play ends.
All right, so we're going to move into the stars of the game now. Now, my star is pretty obvious. He was excellent. He had a goal and an assist tonight in his first game in over a week, and that is William Nylander. He had a beautiful finish off the rush, and like we said, basically was the main driving force behind Matthews' goal. So he was responsible for two goals tonight. He had 86% of the expected goals while he was on the ice. His possession numbers was seven, like near 70%, so you can't really ask for much more for a guy coming off of a break that long.
No, I've made my feelings very clear about tonight's game. If I did had to play pick a player that did play well, it probably is William Nylander. Coming off the week break, it looked like he has no rust. So that's at least, you know, a nice thing going forward. Now, as far as my player of the game tonight, I don't really think anyone deserves it. I think it's a joke that this team lost. I think every single one of them should be embarrassed. I haven't had a chance to look at the post-game interviews by any of them, but I swear if I hear anything about, oh, we just didn't bury our chances, blah, 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 I'm going to absolutely freak out.
I did enough of that for them.
But that being said, I'm going to give a little bit of a preemptive star of the game to Scott Sabourin, who absolutely needs to start next game. And the first shift of the game that Alex Edler is on the ice, I don't care who else is on, Scott Sabourin needs to jump over the boards, take Alex Edler's face, and absolutely mash it into the boards repeatedly. Because that piece of shit Edler deserves to get the absolute crap kicked out of him next game. Just a gutless play on Hyman. So, yeah, I'm going to give it to Scott Sabourin. Hopefully, you know, someone sends him the message that I have said here, and we can relay that and get him in the lineup for the next game versus Vancouver.
All right, Lebda. Well, with that said, do you have any other final thoughts on the game?
No, to be honest, I feel like I made my thoughts very, very clear about the game, so I'll just leave it at that before I, you know, dig myself a bigger hole of stupidity here.
All right, well, with that said, everyone, the sky is not falling. The Leafs are 28-12-5 for 61 points, still 4 points ahead of Winnipeg for first in the division. So, I mean, they're 14 points ahead of the Canadiens right now, who they would face in the first round. I'm not worried about them. My final thought will just be that I really hope Jack Campbell can figure it out, because one, we need him to, and two, I love him. So I hope he can figure that out, and I hope this is just a little blip in the radar for him. But the way things are trending with Freddie having skated, I'm not saying this is what I'm advocating for, but I think the chances are growing by the day that Frederik Andersen plays a playoff game for the Leafs.
Yeah, I think if Jack Campbell continues playing well, kept his play up, there's no way Frederik Andersen would start in the playoffs. The way things look right now, unless there's a massive rebound by Jack Campbell or Dave Riddick gets the net and doesn't let a goal in for the rest of the season, I'm kind of scared to say that Frederik Andersen might genuinely be our game one starter, but we'll see how things progress with his injury and see how things progress with the other two Leaf goalies.
Yeah, it's going to cut. Like, I think if Fred is going to get that chance, he's going to have to come in and have at least like two or three solid games. So there's still a ways to go for that to happen. I am curious about Riddick. It is nice to have him in case Campbell does implode. I'm hopeful he doesn't, but Riddick at least kind of gives you like a baseline in that. Like, I feel out of him, out of the three, it's almost like at times he has the highest floor in a way. Like, he just kind of, but maybe that's just because I haven't watched him. I haven't been a Flames fan and I haven't seen him and his implosions. I'm sure he's had them too. So it will be, that is definitely one of the storylines to watch over the last 11 games, is to see who can steal that starter's position. Who is your guess? If you had to put money right now, who is starting game one of the playoffs for the Leafs?
Money right now, I'm still putting it on Jack Campbell. Same. Now, ask me in a week, it might be different. Hopefully not, but that's who my money's on right now.
Yeah, I'd give it about 60% Campbell, 25% Freddie, 15% Riddick. I hope that equals 100. And with that said, thank you for listening. We will talk to you after the next game.
Alrighty. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good one.